It's good to be together today. It's great to have you all here. If you've been at church with us in recent weeks, you know that we've been in a series called Barrier Breaking Faith, and today we're going to wrap that series up. We've learned about how to trust God to move beyond where we are, to tear down those walls, those barriers in our lives and in our church. And perhaps you have some things that have kind of kept you from moving on to grow into the likeness of Christ and spiritual maturity. We want to tear those barriers down. And as a church, we've been looking at what does God want to do? How does he want to use us in new ways to reach our community, our Jerusalem, our neighborhoods, our friends, our relatives, our associates, our neighbors? What are the barriers that are keeping that from happening more and more? We're trusting God to see those barriers come down. And we believe that it's faith that will help them come down. The key verse for this series has been the end of chapter 10 in Hebrews, where the author wrote, "But my righteous one will live by faith." He said, we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. I don't want to shrink back, do you? I mean, I don't want to start going backwards. And we as a church, we don't want to be content where we are, because the fact is that won't happen, right? The moment we stop moving forward, we don't stay here. We begin to move back. We don't want to shrink back. For the glory of God, we want to move forward. And the Bible says that is by faith. We live by faith. We don't just put our trust in Jesus for our salvation and then roll up our sleeves and do our own thing. No, we live by faith the entire journey. And the fact is, God is not done with any of us. It doesn't matter what stage you are in life. God is not done with you. He has new mountains for you to climb, new battles for you to win. And we move forward to do that by faith. And we've looked at some examples in Scripture, some characters in the Bible who did this. One of them was Joshua, remember? I mean, they faced these walls around the city in the promised land, and they're nomadic people, and they're coming up against this powerful region and these people behind the wall. And God said, I just want you to blow a trumpet and shout, and the walls will come down. Now, I would say to you, that takes a lot of faith to believe that and do it. And God wants to bring the Jericho walls in your life down and in our church. We also looked at Noah. I mean, wow, God comes and warns him of this future calamity, something that Noah has never experienced. He has no knowledge of. And so he begins to do what? To build this massive ark that takes decades to build, all the while never really knowing what actually is going to come other than the promise of God. And yet, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, he faithfully, by faith, continues to do what God called him to do. And in so doing, it was a vehicle of restoration and rescue for the human race. That is the kind of barrier-breaking faith God is calling us to. Today, as we wrap up, we come to our final character we're going to look at. It's Abraham. And Abraham certainly demonstrated faith, barrier-breaking faith. In fact, he's held up in the New Testament as the prime example of faith. This is what Paul said about him in Romans chapter 4. Abraham, when hope was dead within him, went on hoping in faith, believing that he would become the father of many nations. He relied on the word of God, which definitely referred to his descendants. He had none at that point, but he relied on God because God said it. With undaunted faith, he looked at the facts, his own impotence. He was practically 100 years old at this time, and his wife's apparent barrenness. And yet it says he refused to allow any distrust of a definite pronouncement of God to make him waver. He wasn't going to allow distrust to allow him to waver in what God had promised. And so it says he drew strength from his faith, and while giving the glory to God, he remained absolutely convinced that God was able to implement his promise. That, by the way, is the basic definition of faith. It's being confident of that which we haven't seen with our physical eyes, but we see with the eyes of our heart. And he was absolutely convinced. And he trusted God. Now, I'd like you to open your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11. Turn on your device. Please follow along. As we get back into chapter 11, which is the hall of fame of faith, where the author is challenging the Hebrew Christians to press on and not to shrink back. He's giving them examples, and we've already looked at a few of them, and he lists many others. We're going to see that Abraham is kind of the central figure in this chapter. In fact, if you could imagine a hall of fame in the pictures, you've got Enoch, you've got Noah, you've got these different features and different faces, but then you have a whole wall for Noah. They have several pictures of Noah because there are several examples of his faith. It was so great. We're only going to look at one example, but I want to at least mention the other two. You may remember one of the first examples of Noah's faith is when God came to him and said, I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave your people and your land, and I want you to go to the land I will show you. So let's imagine God came to you today. God comes to you this afternoon, and God still speaks today, doesn't he? Amen. God speaks to us. He directs us. That's what a life of faith is about. So God comes to you, and God clearly reveals to you. He wants you to take this assignment. He has this responsibility, this new mission for you. And he says, I want you to get up tomorrow and get going on that mission. And you say, okay, God, I'm all in. Where am I going? I'll let you know once you get started. That's exactly what happened. And Noah is faced with a decision. Is he going to leave everything he's known, all his security, to begin to walk in a direction only to be directed moment by God because he doesn't know where it leads? That's living by faith. And yet if you look chapter 11 and verse 8, it says, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. My friends, God does that for you and me sometimes too. Well, we want to have it all mapped out. We want to have the road map, you know, the GPS, the destination is in, and then we can see the route. God often doesn't give us the destination. He just gives us the next step. And Abraham was a man of incredible faith. And he began walking, and as he walked, God directed his path. That was the first example given in Hebrews 11 of his faith. The second is in regard to the child of promise. Now, God had said to him and promised him his seed, his offspring, would be as numerous as the sand on the seashore, that he would, through his people, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Wonderful promise. Just one big problem. He doesn't have any kids. And he's well beyond childbearing age. As I read earlier in the passage, Romans 4, he's nearly 100 years old. His wife is, what, 90? She's barren. So God said, I'm going to use you and your offspring to bless the world. What is he going to do? Is he going to laugh at that? Actually, Sarah did, right? And sometimes what God calls you to do and me to do, it is laughable from a human perspective. We're like, God, you're going to use, how is that going to work? In my barren life, in the situation that I face, it's impossible. And yet again, in chapter 11, as the author lifts him up as an example of faith to follow, it says in verse 11, Abraham was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. Now he wavered, right? If you know the story, he wavered a little bit in there. He kind of grabbed the wheel and took it over matters in his own hands for a bit. But God then brought him back on course and he continued to believe and God brought him the child and did the miracle. It's an example of faith. That's how God wants us to live, is to live by faith. Believing him for things that we've never seen, like Noah did. trusting him to tear down barriers that we in ourselves could never tackle. But we don't shrink away from those things. We press forward, believing God to tear them down and to open the way for us. The third example given in Hebrews 11 of his faith is the one I want to take a few moments to talk about. It's that amazing, mysterious, seemingly inexplicable test that God put him through, right? I mean, he finally has this child, the child of promise, and then God comes and tells him, okay, I got a new deal for you here. I want you to take your son, Isaac, and I want you to take him out and offer him as a sacrifice. I mean, that takes faith to believe that God has some plan and purpose in that. And sometimes God leads you and me into situations that from a human perspective, are completely inexplicable. We don't have a rational understanding. It doesn't mean we put our head in the sand. It just means we trust God with all of our heart and we don't lean on our own understanding. When we're convinced God has spoken, when God has given a promise, and we can't reconcile it with our own reasoning, the thing that gives is not the promise of God, it's our reason. We say, God, I surrender to you. Your ways are higher than mine. Your thoughts are higher than mine. And I recognize you are an infinite God. I'm a very finite person. And so simply surrender to you. And I trust you with that which I don't understand. And that's what it means to live and walk by faith. So again, let's think about this. This example when he's brought to this test. Several things I want to describe for you about barrier-breaking faith from this example. We're going to look now at verses 17, 18, and 19 of chapter 11. Barrier-breaking faith. Abraham's a great example. The first thing we notice in this example is that barrier-breaking faith sacrifices what is most valued. It's hard to value something more than your children, right? And yet we read in chapter 11, verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Again, the author here is acknowledging this tension and how difficult it had to be for him to reconcile those two things. The promise of God that through Isaac all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And now this command of God to sacrifice him. And the author is acknowledging the tension and how difficult it was. But what is the bottom line? He said, by faith, Abraham sacrificed his son Isaac when God tested him. Now, if we move beyond a Sunday school mindset and we actually try to envision that, we actually try to walk through that experience, if you have a child, it's hard to fathom, isn't it? It's truly hard to fathom. There are many things we learn from this, but the one I want to draw from today, from this, is that there's no sacrifice too great for God. He demands everything and all that we have and all that we are. And we can't put limits on God and say, God, I'll give, I'll serve, I'll go, I'll sacrifice, you know, to this line right here. Or until it crosses the threshold that my pain is too great or my understanding is too small. And at that point, I'm just going to have to say, I'm staying right here. Oh, I trust you. I'll walk by faith. But that's not faith. That's absurdity. Barrier-breaking faith is willing to sacrifice that which is most dear, as we're going to see in a moment, because it's by faith, because we trust God, we trust ultimately, as we're going to see in a moment, in resurrection. But I would simply pause right here and remind you of something. Jesus gave everything for you. And he was in the garden, and he's in that crucible, and he's praying. And what does he say? Not my will, but your will be done, Father. And he's walking by faith through this torturous situation because he trusts, as we saw last week, in what is coming. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. But here's the thing. I want to remind you. Jesus, listen. Jesus calls you and me to that same exact level of sacrifice. It's not for missionaries. We're not talking, you know, the pastor level of sacrifice. And then we got, you know, missionaries. And we got maybe pastors and elders. You know, but I'm just a Christian. I'm here. I'm good. I just live my life. Come to church. You know, I hold on to the reins. I live by faith when it makes sense, whatever. No, that's not at all the New Testament picture. Here's what Jesus said to his disciples. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. You see, barrier-breaking faith is willing to sacrifice what is most dear, sacrifice life itself. Say, God, I give you my life. And it's not something extra. That is the normal Christian life. There's no other way to follow Jesus. He said, if you want to follow me, there's only one way to do it, and that's to die to yourself. Because you can't follow your path and my path. And barrier-breaking faith comes to that point where you say, not my will, but your will be done. I sacrifice all. I sacrifice myself. I give my life. Everything, anything that I value, God, I give it all because I want to follow you. And I trust you with it. And that leads us to the second thing we learn here about barrier-breaking faith. First of all, it sacrifices what is most valued. And secondly, as I mentioned a moment ago, the reason is because barrier-breaking faith believes in resurrection. Why in the world, how in the world could Abraham do this? It's because of his faith. Again, look at the text. Look at verse 19. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Do you see what the principle is? I mean, he couldn't figure it out. It's like, I don't get it. But in his mind, he reasoned, okay, I guess God, the only way I can imagine how this is going to work is you're going to raise the dead. Because you promised that it would be through Isaac that the promise would be fulfilled. And now you're asking me to sacrifice him. So obviously you must be going to resurrect him. And he believed God for that. And as the text says, essentially, as we'll see in a moment, that's what happened. That's what barrier-breaking faith does. And in fact, if you read the 11th chapter of Hebrews, all of them, as we've already noted, they're looking forward to something. It's all the promise you're seeing through the eyes of faith. And so you make decisions and sacrifices, and you take action now, trusting in the future, as we saw again last week. Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, said, not my will, but your will be done, because of what lied before him. And so the question is, do you believe in resurrection? Not just the resurrection of your body one day, but in the resurrection of your efforts and your sacrifices, that God will use them and redeem them in some way. That's what barrier-breaking faith does. Let me ask you this question. Do you believe that the church of Jesus Christ, is the only hope for the world today? Do you believe that? I mean, Jesus has chosen the church to work through the church. We are his body to carry on the work of redemption in the world today. It's the only hope. I mean, look around. There's not much hope out there. And so our sacrifices, our efforts, do you believe God can use them, will use them? And you might even say, raise them up to carry out that work. And as we lay down our lives, he picks them up, raises them so that we can be used to advance the gospel. Now, Paul talked a little bit about this. I'll just read part of his testimony from Colossians chapter 1. He suffered a lot. I mean, you read the account, read 2 Corinthians, read chapter 11. I mean, he really went through a lot of suffering in the service and the advance of the gospel. He said, now I rejoice in what was suffered for you. I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body. And then he goes on to say, we proclaim Jesus, admonishing, teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end, I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. Paul essentially said, I've given my life, and I'm going through all this suffering. I'm sacrificing all these things in my life, believing God's going to raise up and use the energy I have to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Barrier-breaking faith sacrifices what is most valued because it believes in resurrection. And the third thing we learn is in the end of verse 19, and that is that barrier-breaking faith receives what God promised. And that, as I noted a moment ago, the author said, figuratively speaking, Abraham did receive Isaac back from death. And so as he raised the knife, about to plunge it into his son's chest, and the intervention of God and the provision of the ram, in essence, was like a resurrection. And when you walk by faith, you trust in the promise, you give everything, my friends, you could take it to the bank. God's going to come through. God's going to fulfill his promise. It may not be exactly the way you understood it to be. It may not be the way you wanted it, but he is going to complete and carry out the promise that he has given. Again, Paul is a great example of this. Talk about giving your life and sacrificing, living by faith. He wrote to the Galatian church, he said, I have been crucified with Christ. I've died. When he hung there, I died. Identify with him, I died to myself. Pick up my cross daily, I die. I've been crucified with Christ, and yet I'm living. And the life I live every day, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And we'll see in a moment another example from Paul's life, but he's an example as Abraham is. I confess to you that I, like most Bible students, I would suspect like many of you, I still really wrestle with this whole idea of God testing him this way. It's hard to get your mind around. And yet God teaches us about himself through it. Not just about Abraham, but about himself. One author said, Abraham's faith in God, his faith that God would absolutely keep his promise, even if it meant bringing Isaac back from the dead, glittered like purest gold. In fact, it is no exaggeration to say that by looking at Abraham, here, listen, by looking at Abraham, we see the heart of God. And if you're here today and you don't know this, I want to tell you something. God loves you so much that he gave his son up so that you could be forgiven for your sin and so that you could have a place in heaven. And it's by faith. It's not by what you do, how you live. It's by what Jesus did for you and putting your trust in him. But as we kind of wrap this all up and kind of put a bow on this series, Barrier Breaking Faith, I want to call you to take a step today. Oh, it's great to look at examples and to learn from them. But at the end of the day, when the rubber meets the road, the question is, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? I want to challenge you today, regardless if you've done this before or not, I want to challenge you to make a conscious, deliberate, very willful decision to live by faith. And I want to tell you something. I've mentioned it in the last few weeks. I'm going to say it again today. The elders of the church, we've been meeting regularly. We're praying. And we are believing God to break down some barriers in our church. For many years, this fellowship has been here. As I've said, much work has gone on. People have been saved. Missionaries have been supported. But my friends, there's a population all around us who need Jesus Christ. And for some reason, we can't seem to break through the barriers to reach out and effectively draw them in. Not to our church per se, but to the faith in Jesus Christ. And we're believing God for something new to break down a barrier. And we do believe that part of the barrier has to do with our faith. Do we believe it? That God wants that? That he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Do you believe it? Are you ready to move beyond business as usual? To take steps of faith, to trust God to do something new in our church and through us and in your life? Or are we just going to keep kind of going the way we've been going? So I want to challenge you with three things as we close and wrap up this series. And at the end of the service, in just a few minutes, I'm going to call you to that kind of commitment. Number one, how do we experience this resurrection power that Abraham believed in? How do we experience that? Number one, step out of your comfort zone when your faith is being tested. Oh, I love my comfort, don't you? We have these places, you know, we have this parameters that we feel very comfortable, and it's like, I'll go up to the edge, but boy, to go beyond that is not real pleasant. I'm challenging you to step beyond your comfort zone. Abraham left everything he knew, all he was comfortable with, he left it all to walk by faith. Joshua trusted God to stand up by this wall and to walk around it and simply shout and believe that God is going to bring the barrier down, the wall down. Noah built the boat. Peter, we haven't looked at his example, but you're familiar. I mean, God said, come on, step out into the water. To leave the comfort of the boat and to step into the water. God is calling us to do that. Will you leave your comfort zone? Think about our church. We're comfortable. God's blessed us, provided for us. We have great relationships here. Of unity. We have so many wonderful things that God has done. But is there more that he wants to do? I think there is. And so I want to challenge you today. Would you be willing to step up and allow God to use you in a new way? Maybe to invite some of your neighbors over to your house for a Bible study. To say no to some other activities and events in your life so that you carve out some time and you invite your neighbors over and you study the Bible with them. Or what about you start or increase? You begin giving to missions. You say, Bob, man, our finances are really tight. Are you willing to step out in faith and say, the cause of the gospel, the advance of the gospel is so important that I'm going to start giving some of that money to missions. I'm going to give more than I've given before. Or maybe more than that, I'm going to go serve in some way. Really go beyond my comfort zone. You know, every Sunday morning, Wes comes up, he leads worship, he has a team of people, but they could use some help. And not just up here, we need help in the back. You say, oh man, that made me nervous to be back in the back, got to help run the sound or doing the slides. That's beyond my comfort zone. But would you be willing to do that as a step of faith so we can move forward, continue to advance the gospel? Say, I'm going to step up and serve in a way that I haven't before. Go out of my comfort zone and allow God to use me. I hope you would do that. Maybe God wants you to go back to school, get some new training or degree so that he can use you in a way he hasn't used you before. Are you willing to step beyond your comfort zone? That's number one. Number two, believe God's promise enough. Believe God's promise enough to sacrifice that which you love the most. I'm calling you to that kind of challenge and that kind of commitment because that's what God calls us to. I can't imagine. I have a son. Today's his birthday. 34. I cannot fathom God asking me to sacrifice him as he did Abraham. But what if God is asking you to sacrifice your child and your dreams for that child, for their career path? What if God is asking you to sacrifice and let go of that because he wants to send them to a third world country, a dangerous place of the world to bring the gospel? Are you willing to say, God, I give them up. I won't see them very much. And my plans for them, what I would love to see for them, I give all that up, God. I sacrifice them to you. Are you willing to sacrifice that which you love most for the advance of the gospel? Are you willing to sacrifice that new car? That exotic vacation you want to take in order to fund the advance of the gospel in our community around the world? You're saying, Bob, you're hitting a little close to home now. But this is the kind of commitment God is calling us to step out in faith and trust God and sacrifice everything for the kingdom and the advance of the name of Jesus. Are you willing to sacrifice your reputation by openly aligning yourself with the cause of Christ in an increasingly hostile culture? Are you willing to give up your retirement for ongoing service in the kingdom? Are you willing to sacrifice your comfortable position on the couch? You know, you're on the couch now. You've served, you're tired, and you're on the couch, and you're watching other people serve in the church. Are you willing to get off the couch and to serve? You know, this fall, Wednesday nights, we're going to have Awana. This building's going to be full with kids. And we need people to come and love those kids and love them to Jesus. Are you willing to give up your Wednesday night to come to serve and to love children for the sake of Christ? Are you willing to sacrifice your idea, your conception, your preference for a church? I mean, why do you come to this church? Why don't you go to the Bible chapel or some other church? It's probably because you like a small church. We like the family feel. It's so wonderful. We know everybody. And that's good. I'm all for that. We're all about community. But my friends, are you willing to let go of some of that idea, that preference, in order to make room for those who are lost? You see, this is where God is calling us. To step beyond our comfort zone, to step out of our experience into something new for the sake of Christ. Now, do you believe God? Do you believe it's good in his plan? I do. And I trust you do too. So I'm simply calling you, inviting you in to experience all God has for us. So that's the second thing. Are you willing to sacrifice that which you love most for this, the kingdom? And then number three and finally, will you trust God with your weakness and failures? Abraham and Sarah, he's old. I'm feeling old these days, I can tell you that. This humidity, I'm aching when I get up in the morning, you know, and I'm just getting started. It's being old stuff. Abraham's old. And yet he continued to serve God. He gave his life to God. So I'm asking you, are you willing to allow God to redeem and resurrect your empty womb, whatever that is? Or your failure? Do you believe God can make beauty out of your ashes? The ashes of your own making? See, it's a matter of trusting God. Rather than the enemy shoving us backwards and we shrink back, no, we're pressing on, trusting God that he redeems even our failures, even our sin. He redeems all that and uses it if we'll simply trust him. Will you give him your five small loaves and two fish? Will we as a church and allow him to use us? Well, let me wrap up with just a final word about Paul. When we think of barrier-breaking faith, I think of no one that I see that in more than him and his life. It was near the end of his life. He making a final tour, visiting some of the churches that he had started, people he loved and led to Jesus. And he's making a swing near Ephesus. He doesn't have time to go there, but he calls for the Ephesian elders, and they come and meet him in Miletus by the beach, and he's saying a final farewell to them. And he tells them, this is the last time you're going to see me. This is it. And then this is what he tells them. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. It sounds familiar, doesn't it? I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, he said, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of Jesus. That's the Christian life. That's living by faith. That's being willing to sacrifice that which is most dear because you believe in the resurrection. And so I ask you today, have you ever deliberately, willfully said, not my will, but your will be done, God? And maybe you have in the past. You climbed up on that altar, you laid yourself there and said, God, take my life. I give it to you. But then since then, you've crawled back off and you've kind of begun your life again. So this morning, will you say, yes, Jesus, I give you my life. I want to walk by faith. I'm tired of kind of shrinking back, staying here where I've been. I want to move forward. I want to press on. I don't know what it means. I don't know where it leads. But I want to say yes to you today. You're calling me to a new life of faith. I'm saying yes. Will you do that? Do you believe that that's the best path for you? Or do you believe the best path is when you're in control? As we wrap up this series, as we think of our church in the future, I'm asking you to join with me, to join with our elders in saying, we want to believe God for something new. Not because of us, but because of him. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. I'm inviting you today to lose your life for Jesus. Because that's when you'll find it. That's when you'll find it. Would you bow your head with me? Before we sing, we're going to sing in just a moment. But before we do, I just want to challenge you today to respond to Jesus. When he said, if you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself. You have to take up your cross to follow me. And he said, unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Are you willing today, right now, to say, Jesus, I died myself, and I want to live for you. I want to walk by faith. I want to live for you. I want my life to count for eternity. And so from this point forward, to the best of my ability, with your Spirit's help, I want to walk and live by faith. I want to live for you. Would you say that right now? You just make that your prayer to him right now where you are. And as a physical demonstration, outward demonstration of your heart's decision and heart work, I would ask you just to raise your hand up. People aren't looking around, praying. Just raise your hand and say, yes, yes, Jesus, I want to serve you, Father. All right, you can put your hand down. Let's pray. Father, we do come to you today and thank you for your blessing. We thank you for your patience with us. Thank you for your calling on our lives. And today we recognize that you're calling us forward, not back, but forward. Your word tells us that your righteous one lives by faith. Doesn't shrink back, but moves forward by faith. And that's what we want, Lord, because we know that without faith it's impossible to please you. And we want to please you. So, Father, as we move forward and you take us out into the waters ahead of us, into the path that is unknown, we want to continue to trust you and to take those steps of faith, believing that you will not only guide us, but you will use our obedience, even our failures, to advance the name of Jesus. So God, make it so as you hear the response of our heart, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.